This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. Today, we are going to be talking about the attitude of a victor. The attitude of a victor. By the grace of God, I've seen many men and women of God and as believers through seasons of battle. I've had the privilege of being with people who are looking for a child and seeing them get pregnant and deliver their children. I've seen those who are looking maybe to travel, go through all the process and come out successful. I've seen those who are trusting God to bring their dead back to life, go through the pain and trauma of grief and still get their dead back to life. I say this as someone who has been in and around the Church of Jesus Christ all my life. And in the last few years, intensely as a leader of a ministry, I've gotten engaged with so many people from so many backgrounds with different situations. And I can tell you that as much as I'm telling you that, oh, we've had victory on so many fronts, in some other cases that I've seen the opposite. I've seen vigorous battles fought, and at the end of the day, it will seem as if we had no gains. It will seem as if maybe God abandoned us, or that God didn't want to answer the prayer that we lifted up to Him. However, I'm not teaching just solely from scriptural perspective. I'm also talking from a spiritual perspective. The default attitude of a Christian is victory. Many Christians do not understand this. Right in the middle of a battle, when the battle is at its fiercest, many of us cave. We begin to cry. We begin to lament. Some of us even turn our fist on God and we curse out. We lash out. Because all of us have different thresholds for pain. And when things are down, especially when we desperately need situations to turn around, we all react in different ways. Some people just go silent. Some people have a defiant attitude. They're just like, I don't care. Either God does it or He doesn't do it. I can't stop worshiping Him. He's still going to be God. That attitude is okay, but it's not good enough. You see, the attitude is not Job's attitude. We don't want Job's attitude. We don't want you to take a fatalistic approach as a believer. That is not the approach Jesus gave us. Job gave us that approach, that fatalistic approach that tells us that it doesn't matter whether though he slay me, you have to lie starving. Remember the three brutals, they had that approach. They were like, even if it does not show up, yet we will not bow. That's not bad. That's not also the excellent approach. The excellent approach, first time we'll see the excellent approach was when we were looking to the book of 1 Samuel. And we saw a lady called Hannah. The Bible said Hannah had been looking for a child. And Hannah went to the temple to pray for a child. And then a priest came in. Eli came in. And when Eli came in, Eli mistook her for a drunk woman who mistook her way into the temple and was just babbling and rambling, right? And Eli rebuked her. Say, hey, woman, this is not the kind of place where you come and do your drunk whatever. Get out of this place. And that young lady, even though her prayers were rudely interrupted, she did not allow the words of Eli to affect her in any way. Some of us would have gotten angry and we would have just zoomed out of prayer mode into tiger mode, because we were already troubled. And then this man came in and began to. So this lady turned around and said, "I'm not so sad. I'm a woman who is full of sadness. There's something I wanted God to do for me that He has not done. And every day at my house, I get taunted. I get to see that if He does not do it, I'm a laughing stock." And this man said, "Oh, sorry, sorry that I misjudged you. Your prayers are hereby answered." And the Bible said, that is the attitude. The Bible said, as soon as he heard the word from Eli, her countenance, she got a victory attitude immediately. Like she got into a victory attitude immediately. She didn't wait to see, I've seen my period, or I've lost my period, or she didn't wait for that. The word was enough. Now, that's not the word of Prophet Samuel. That was the word of Priest Eli, a man that had a reputation in Israel as a very indisciplined father of indisciplined children. But that man's word was enough. Was enough. That is where you get a victorious attitude. Because everything changed simply because that lady took God's word and it was sovereign to her. She didn't ask God to come and produce evidence. She didn't say, "God, I've heard you. Show me the evidence. I will believe you after you show me the evidence." No. In fact, Jesus Christ told us that blessed are those who didn't ask for evidence, but they believed. A victor's attitude. It's an attitude that stands with God's word, regardless of the storm that you may be passing through. Regardless of how fierce it may be, regardless of how tough it might be, regardless of how dire the situation might look. I mean, on every side, you win. It may not seem so to you, but you win on every side. At the time, I was at the U.S. Embassy. And I met this brother from a church where I had ministered before. As soon as he saw me, he came to meet me, hugged me, said, "I'm tapping into grace this morning. Now that I've seen you, I know for sure that I'm going to get this visa. I know for sure." I said to him, "Brother, why are you desperate for a U.S. visa? What is the desperation about?" And he said, "Oh, my wife and my two children are in America. I'm the only one stranded here. I'm the only one. And I've done everything. I've done everything they wanted, filled all the forms. I couldn't get, they didn't approve of my immigration visa. And now I just want to go and see them with a tourist visa, just to go and see them for some time and come back." And they gave me a date that is almost a year, that was almost a year. And then I'm getting here today, I'm just frustrated, just tired. And right there, it was almost weeping. Now, this is a guy that just for interview in the three-piece suits, he had gone to cut his hair, trying to look so well, trying to charm the interviewers and all that. I embraced him. And I said, "Will you take my word for it?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I grant you that visa." We have not gotten to the consular people. It was me and him at the first processing hall. I hugged him and I said, "I grant you that visa." And when I said it, he jumped. He rejoiced. He almost ran out of the hall. People are looking at him. They said they should go and take passport to, at one corner. He was running. He wanted to collide with people that are taking passports. I was standing. I was laughing because he had a victor's eye. Immediately, the despondent look on his face before he met me had lifted. He was practically dancing, talking, and he was supposed to be on the 6:30 queue. That's those who came in for the 6:30 interview. I was supposed to be on the 6:30 queue. So by the time we got back to that line, the woman and one other woman had taken the spot, and it was supposed to be his turn. So they told him, and that's the joy of a winning attitude. They told him, "Oh, stand aside, let's take care of this elderly woman." He stood aside. That woman was supposed to be 7 o'clock. They processed the woman. It was supposed to be his turn again. Another couple, elderly, came. They said, "Oh, stand aside." So he was trying to tell them that I'm supposed to be on the 6:30 queue, and you're already processing 7 o'clock. But I think he just thought about it. He just forgot about it. Just anyway, I'm here. And then they kept waiting again. They kept waiting again. And then after some time, they processed him and they went in. By the time I'll see him again, he just came to embrace me. He said, "Just as you said." He said, "I didn't answer three lines of question." The man looked at me, and the man just said, "It will take a week to print it, but you can check back in a week," or, and that was it. His attitude was that of a victor, a winner. When you are facing the severest storm, I mean this, and sometimes some of us will think that those who talk like this are not going through storms. That would not be right. But I know the key out of everything, because I do not regard it. Anything that happens, for example, to me personally, is always good. It's always part of a correction or a process that God is taking me through. And I've learned that all the seasons He will take me through, as long as He is leading me, I should relax. It's like me and my children being in the car. I'm driving. And my children are in the car, we are driving. And then there was sun. If the sun is much, my daughter can say, "Daddy, AC, increase the AC." I'm the daddy, I will increase the AC. She's just going to sit down. If it is raining and we cannot see, and I'm driving slowly so I can be careful, can I say, "Daddy, I want to get home early." I say, "Oh, it's raining. It's raining." But in all these things, she knows that her dad is in control of the car. I may not be able to change the entire weather to make it summer and shiny so that we have a perfect weather. But we are in a car, and I'm in the driving seat. And I will surely, by the grace of God, get them home. And that is the assurance I have in my walk with God. The seasons may change. Those that I love may not show me the kind of love that I expected them to show. Not that they hate me, just they may just see things from another perspective and act in a way that will make me feel, in this time when I'm going through this storm, when I expect that I'll get support, with that moral or just a lot of cushion around me, that I may not feel the cold. It is not at this time that my friends should pick pitchforks and want to stab me to death, right? And I may feel that it's so insensitive and all that, but it is still a process. And I'm not going to, because of that, lose my victory style. David was another man in the scripture that had understanding of what it takes to be a winner. Even when David will go through the worst of battles, "But thou art a shield for me, my glory." See, he has set the Lord as the standard in such a way that when things are too tough, he will just say, The Lord is my victor. The Lord is my victory shout. The Lord is my victory dance. It doesn't matter what the situation is. That would be his default. that things may not work out or seem like they are going the way you want. But do not remove God from his throne and put your problem or that situation on the throne. Do not enthrone your problem. Don't enthrone that issue. Don't give it the room to lord over you. It is just a thing, and it will pass with time. I met with an 80-year-old man yesterday, a deacon of the Baptist Church. And as we sat down together and talked, and I remember the story, the storms he had passed through, the seasons of his life. And how his faith was not did not waver or shake, even though he went through serious, serious issues in life. And as he talked about his experience and shared with me, and as he counseled and admonished me as a young minister of the gospel, I realized something. The man was 84. And yet, all the troubles he had faced were not strong enough. They were not powerful enough to make him say, like Jacob, that my days have been full of sorrow. No. No. He had a victor's attitude. Because at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with things. It has everything to do with you. Do you know whom you have believed? Do you know him according to what he can do for you or according to who he is? If you know him according to what he can do for you, you may not see the whole picture of what he is doing. Imagine that Joseph, when his brother sold him, imagine that he was just cursing God. Not knowing that even though the night came early, but joy will come in the morning. His night came at 17. At 17, he was sold. And for 13 years, that was a very long night. For 13 years, this guy was in a night season. He was sold. He was taken as a houseboy in Potiphar's house. He was lied against, then thrown into the dungeon. The night remained for 13 years. Imagine that. But he came out when it was morning, and he realized that it was all part of a plan. Sometimes when we go through certain things, we forget that there is a driver in charge of this vehicle, and that driver is the greatest of all. That we are shielded and cocooned in him, and that as he is driving us, his intention is to take us home safely. We forget. Some of us, over very small issues, we begin to throw tantrums. And some of us, we even go as far as to say we don't want to serve it anymore. I know those who, because they are looking for children, went away from God into idolatry. After 14 years of eating all sorts with idols, the lady came back, wrote to me and said, I used to be a Christian. Again, she wasn't looking for a child. I used to be a Christian. God didn't answer us. So we went to do this, we went to do that. I stopped being a Christian. Now, 14 years later, I still don't have a child. And now I'm coming to UJW because I still want a child. I told her, I said, you are not coming to me. You do not understand how to love the Lord. It is still this thing, this same, I want a baby, that made you leave the Lord, go to idols. It's the same reason you are coming back. All you want is a child. Who would want to love somebody like that? Do you think as a human being, you want to love somebody who tells you, who you know that all this person wants from me is just maybe my money? That the reason she's with me is just for my money. No. Even if somebody is with somebody for money, there is always sense in pretending as if it is not so. Not to talk of being brazen about it. So of what value is the relationship when I know that I'm just a taker? All you want is just to take from me. I said, you do not know how to love the Lord. That's why you don't have victory. Ah, she wept. Oh, she cried. And I told her, I said, the Lord has not asked me to forsake you. And I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying to you that I am not praying to you to have a baby. I'm going to ask the Lord to restore you into fellowship. And that you are going to learn His ways again. If you will do that, the Lord is able. I said, okay. And she did that. 1 year, 8 months later, for the first time in about 15 years plus, she got pregnant. But that was after she had come to learn not to look into His hand, but to look into His face. You must learn the attitude of a victor. The way a victor speaks, the situation does not matter to a victor. If he sees a storm, he's a victor. The rain is a victor. Thunder and lightning is a victor. He's in a plane and there is turbulence, it's a victor. On a ship, there is turbulence, a victor. On the land and there is turbulence, a victor. He knows one thing for sure, that he is in the camp of the one that has won. He's not trying to win. That is the attitude of a victor. After you win a war, you shout for joy. Your countenance changes. You dance. Now, those who didn't partake of the war, when they hear news, for example, some of us, we don't play football. But when we hear that our country won a match, suddenly our hearts will be glad. We would dance. Everybody is talking about it. We would go and listen. We didn't even know anything about the football match before. But as soon as we know that our country won, something happens to us. We will banter. We will go on social media. We will boast. We will talk. Simply because that is how victory works. I do not have to be involved in the process of the battle. But a true victor celebrates the victory when it comes. Jesus had fought the battle. He has won. Your situation cannot nail him to the cross again or make him go through trials and pains again. He has won. The Bible said it in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, that he has prevailed. Ha, ya, ya. He said, the Lamb of God has prevailed. He has won. This is enough reason for every believer to have a victor's attitude. You are not proud, but you can have a victor's shoulder pad. When you see a problem, you will tell the problem. You are not a factor. I see it all the time. When I see any issue, I say it is not a factor. I've won. Before this situation came, I had already won. I'm on my victory lap. I have always been on my victory lap. I'm on my victory lap. There are situations, I tell you, that to human beings are dicey or a bit political. When I found myself in one of such situations, I was looking at how to resolve it. I didn't know how. What I did was I just left it. I just closed my eyes to it and I acted as if it doesn't exist. Because if I wanted to hide it by myself, it's most likely that I was going to ruin things. So I felt I should just leave it. And I should just continue to have my victor's attitude on the matter. Because it is a matter that sooner or later will resolve itself. Just that we as human beings, we like to control the outcome of everything. We want to control every situation. We want to be involved. And there are things that you should just ignore. So I ignored it. And I continued my work with the Lord. And when the situation came up, I said, okay, finally you are here. I have victory over you. I promise you, that situation would involve me having a lawyer, right? And I never had one. I never planned for one. I didn't. But as soon as the situation came up, and I met the lawyer, guess what? I think I was somewhere in Lagos. Somebody just came. Somebody drove by herself, came to where I was, said she wanted to see me. We sat down, we were talking. And the person told me, I'm a lawyer. I said, oh. I need a lawyer for this particular situation. And the person said, oh, okay. The person brought out her phone and listed out All the lawyers she knows. Like, I was sitting down. She bought all the lawyers. She called all the lawyers. She gave them whatever. She gave them, by the time she was done, the problem was already solved. Right? I didn't have to rack my brain. What did I tell you? I had a victor's attitude. I just know that on that particular matter, when the time comes, the Lord has already prepared, he has already prepared his own case file. All I have to do is just relax and enjoy my victory. And I got the victory. It is important that you have that kind of mindset, a totally trusting attitude towards the word of God, the will of God for your life. We pray for a whole month. You'll be shocked that some people, after this whole month of prayer, July 1, they'll go back to their lamenting state. They've been speaking in tongues for 1 month, like speaking in tongues, doing dominion prayers every day, talking to the Lord, growing. Like you did 24 hours prayer a day for a whole month. You should have the month of July as your month of victory. In fact, you should just be dancing. If anybody says, no, I just came out of a prayer. No. I know that this matter is resolved. There is nothing that anybody can bring, past, present, and future, that I've not resolved in the place of prayer. That is my own kind of attitude. I never look at the current situation. I'm always going to trust that the Lord, I've loaded my cloud. Surely the rain will fall. The month of July is the month of Geshem. It's the month of the rain. And if you load your cloud, if the cloud be full of rain, it will empty itself on the earth. We are going to have the month of rain, and we are going to have joy in it, and the attitude is going to be peace. It doesn't matter what situation then comes, it wouldn't stop your victory dance. It wouldn't stop your victor's attitude. You should have that attitude. You should have, where you are just sure that everything is fine. You are not looking at the situation. You are not going to cry in secret and be laughing in the open. No, you are just going to be joyful. Why? Because after you have prayed, then you serve a God that is not deaf or dumb or blind or stupid. After a month of prayer, you have a right to expect the best of God. And that best will show forth in your life. This is my admonition for this morning. Have a victor's attitude. Laugh, dance, wear your best clothes. I mean it. Take time to iron the colorful ones. I mean it. Go to your hairdresser, make a fine hairstyle, wear your makeup, dress, take evening strolls, just turn heads. If there's no crime in that, just have that fragrance of joy. Don't lock yourself in the door and say, God has answered my prayer. What is happening? What is happening in my tummy? What is the point of being joyful? God has not given me what I want. Don't have that kind of attitude. Those who have it, they cry for longer. They cry and cry and cry. Those who say, until God answer me, I will not be happy. They end up unhappy most of the days of their life until they are so used to unhappiness, they will forget how to be happy again. Don't be like that. Have a victor's attitude. Dance, shout, rejoice, go out. Be laughing, be full of joy. Let all those issues, let them go, because God has given you the victory. Today it is a great day for you. I pray it's with you. All that you will do, you will see the hand of God evident upon it. You are full of the Holy Spirit. You are loaded, and therefore you dispense eternal abilities effortlessly. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Your destiny is a shining and a glorious one. It is speaking, and the whole world is hearing. Bless the Lord because he has blessed you with gold, with silver, with the fruits of the heart, and with the boundless love of his throne. Thank you, Father, for all you have done. We give you glory. Thank you for our victor's attitude. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the victors in the house shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.